you know, straight up, like, I don't think gym ownership is for everybody. There's so many out there that want to own their own gym. And I get it. Like, it's exciting. But I don't think that this is a job per se. Now, I'm not saying that because I don't work. I work my butt off. I say this is a calling. If you're passionate about fitness, you might not want to work in fitness unless you can change that passion to purpose. Like, you have to be a certain person to do this. Are you the right person for this job? Cheesy intro line in 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Fitness Lying Down podcast, where I am your host and owner extraordinaire, Corey Kripe. Well, today, my friends, I am thrilled that this is not a visual form of media. I'm very glad that this is audio only because I woke up with a sty in my eye. And I don't recall ever having one of these before, but my wife immediately knew what it was because she's had it before. And she was the first one to immediately point it out this morning and tell me I had something wrong with my face. Par for the course in my home. And it's irritating and whatnot, but I'm taking the necessary steps to drain, I guess. I don't know. There's a clogged duct in my eyelid. I defer to the registered dietitian. That's where I go. So glad that you don't have to see my mug today. As my mother has always said, I have a face for radio. And I gotta throw some shout outs. Not gonna name anybody in particular, but if you're listening to this, you probably know who you are. You know, there's times when you're doing this podcast and it's amazing that any Yahoo with a mic, and you don't even need a mic, you can have a low quality podcast, and just some knowings of the internets can actually just have a podcast and talk about absolutely nothing. And maybe not have an audience at all. And sometimes I feel like that's where I'm at, even though we do have a pretty solid audience. And, you know, every now and then I'm just like, I don't know, should I continue on with the podcast? It doesn't take too much to put this together, to be honest. I mean, there's no fancy production. Yes, I lay down some tracks and whatnot. You got to sign up some guests, you know, here and there. Try to get more than not, because I know it can be arduous for you out there to just listen to me talk for 30, 40, 45, maybe 50 minutes. But I don't know, just this last week, I've had two people reach out and say that they have started listening to the podcast and they enjoy what they're hearing. You know, whether they're clients here in the gym or people that are out there that have some DVRT knowledge. I don't know. I mean, is there anybody out there that doesn't really know about DVRT that's listening to this? That would be curious for me to find out about. But yeah, I just want to, for all of you out there, that whether you listen for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, you listen to the whole episode, whether you share it, whether you don't share it, I'm very happy, grateful, and thankful. I guess grateful and thankful are pretty much the same thing. But I'm just blessed that you spent some time doing this. And it feels like I maybe have mentioned this before in a previous episode. I mean, I've done enough of these now. I kind of forget everything I talk about. But in the beginning, I really enjoyed making videos. And I still like making videos, but I don't have the time. So I had to outsource that to my wonderful brother-in-law. And I made these videos, and at the time I had my my former business partner. And at one point I remember him like telling me, I think we need to like spend less time on the videos because there's not a lot of return on investment, also known as ROI. You know, we're not seeing like people rushing into the gym because you have these videos on social media. And I just, you know, I stood my ground and said, I think we should just continue on because it shows our culture. You know, and it shows how we do things and how, you know, how quirky we are, and allows people to come behind the doors without having to sign up for a membership. And it's not surprising, I guess, looking back at this, but, you know, there'd be months, years later, you know, after having these videos, that people would start coming into the gym and signing up for trials. And they would say, I've been following you for, you know, a couple of years now, and had no idea. There was no engagement on the posts, you know, nothing about, no comments on any of the videos that we created and whatnot. And I mean, we had a lot. I mean, we did, I was dedicated at the time to doing like a monthly montage, which would still be fun to get back into. But we did a monthly montage of like just training in the gym, and we'd throw a sound, a song to it, and we put it out there. It'd be like a minute long. You could still find that in the archives in our Facebook and even maybe our YouTubes. I'm not sure. But we have stayed the course for our weekly like instructional videos, right? So whether it was way back in the day, the Ask Anthony's, I evolved into the Kettlebells and Coffee. I believe Megan had, before she did Nourish to Flourish, Megan's Movement Minute, I think it was, the MMM. Shelly did a little bit something, the Move Strong, Live Strong, Something Strong. And so we tried a lot of things, and it's been kind of fun with all these different mediums to play around. And the big thing is, it's not just playing. We are trying to offer information. We want to provide a service to the community. Whether, I mean, obviously, if you are behind the pay grade and your paywall and you're coming into the gym, your experience with us is going to be a lot more in-depth. You know, it's hands-on training. You've got our coaching, all this other stuff. I mean, it's all inclusive there. But if you're staying outside the paywall and you're getting our free content and free information or whatnot, we still want to give you things that are relative, things that you could plug in wherever you are, whatever gym you're in, whatever kitchen you're cooking in, right? You don't have to sign up to see Megan for nutrition. We would like you to, because you're going to understand things a lot more. You're going to get more depth as you deep dive with her. We would love for you to come in and train with us. Absolutely love it. But we want to make sure we're providing you content, credible content that you can apply. So, you know, as I think Josh and I talked a couple of weeks ago about a lot of these fitness influencers out on social media, basically wearing nothing. And they're not giving you these tips to help you out. You know, they're giving these tips for engagement. So they're not trying to provide you with credible information. You know, I mean, they're going to show you three exercises for your abdominals, but they're going to put on top of there, almost promise like for your six pack, you know, because it's always, and it's so sad to see people just fall into these traps. Like, you just throw abs. So instead of saying like, hey, three exercises to strengthen your core, we will give you three exercises for your six pack. And all of a sudden you hear six pack, and where does your brain go? Your brain goes, well, I can have a six pack if I do these three exercises. It's just so deceiving. And yeah, I mean, this is why our industry struggles. there's the good, you know, we have the good and then we have the bad, right? And I'm not saying like there's good and bad people per se. It's just the industry in a whole. It's almost like a Star Wars, you know, it's this inside the person. You know, I want to provide people with meaning and knowledge, but I want people to come into the gym. So I want to give them flashy things. I want to say those buzzwords that'll get people into the door. And I don't know, at the end of the day, you have to look in the mirror and say that you did a good job, that you did what you were supposed to do, and you did it with a clear conscience. Now, I hope I don't go off the deep end with this one, which I have, but I felt like talking to my favorite brother not too long ago. He's got a child that's in college and another one that's getting close to, you know, graduate from high school. I've got one that's getting close to graduating high school as well. And, you know, so you get those questions like, what are you going to do when you grow up? And I just think about where him and I were versus with our parents versus where our children are with our hindsight, our 2020 vision here. Because most of you probably had the same thing when you graduated high school, that in order to have meaningful employment, to have high paying employment, I mean, that's what it was all about, right? Get the job that pays all the money. You know, and it's just, this is what I'm going to go into a little bit, but you had to go to college. You had to go to college. Like, if you were going to do anything with your life, you had to go to college. It was almost like if you did not go to a four-year degree college, university, you are letting your whole family down. And I think that's really unfair pressure. I do. I don't think, and I've said this before, I don't believe that myself, particular, I don't think that I needed a four-year degree to do what I'm doing today. Now, I went through it, I did it, and all my life happened with it. You know, I mean, it's all part of my experience. So, I mean, there are things, absolutely, there are things that I regret. I don't necessarily regret going to college, but if I could do it over again, I might have taken a different direction. But then if I would have taken that different direction, I mean, it's almost like the whole It's a Wonderful Life with George Bailey. You know, it's like, and I'm not having this moment, trust me, I'm not trying to wish that I did not exist, but you just sometimes wonder that if my trajectory went in a different direction, what if I took time off before I went to college? What if I did something else and maybe didn't go to college? Where would I be? Would there be a fitness line down? I don't know. And, you know, it's not too much. I don't think it's necessary to ruminate on this kind of stuff. However, getting back to the original message, we've got kids. He's got a daughter that's in college. And my Sophia, she wants nothing to do with college. And I am supporting her with that because I don't think she needs to. You know, I think she has two shining examples at home of two different ways to look at this. Like for myself, I went through all 12 years of high school, high school did not last me 12 years. That would be insane. I went through all 12 years of elementary, middle, and then high school. And then I immediately jumped right into a four-year university. My wife, on the other hand, so she did go through her elementary, middle school, and high school. And she did go to tech school. She came down to, it wasn't Western at the time, but it is now. But she came to the technical college here in La Crosse. And I think she went for like a semester and just realized it was not for her. She didn't want to do it. So she went and worked retail. She was the manager at a Gloria Jean's coffee shop. And that's what got my coffee journey going as well. So, I mean, she's good for so many reasons. And so she decided to just work. And she worked and she made money and she just lived as an adult, right? Went to work, had friends, did the adult thing, went to work, whatever. But then, you know, we get married and she had this draw. Like she wanted to go to college. She was ready to go back and she discerned that she wanted to become a registered dietitian. So we got her enrolled and she went in and she got her degree and she passed her boards. So she is a full-fledged registered dietitian. And she did that later on in life. You know, I don't remember quite the age that she was at. I know she graduated somewhere in 2007. I do the math, I'm going to get it, but I have a sty in my eye, and it's really hard to do math when you have a sty. That's actually facts. So she did that, right? And now she's been a dietitian for like 16, 17 years, but she's had this calling to go back to school because now she wants to get her master's in mental health counseling because that's where she feels like she's called now. And I think it's a beautiful thing because as a dietitian, and maybe if you've listened to some of our previous podcasts, you've heard her, she's worked in the bariatric department. And that department, I imagine any department that has to deal with nutrition and people with like relationships with food, I imagine that there has to be a lot of, I don't want to call it counseling, but there has to be some kind of aspect of that, right? I mean, we could call it counseling, except just without like the credentials. And, you know, when she's working with these people in bariatrics, I mean, she's just found out, like, I do a lot of these things. I'm asking all the right questions. And she's so good at it. That's the thing. Like, she knows the questions to ask, you know, and she's not afraid to challenge you either in a loving way, just like maybe a counselor would do. So it only makes sense. It's almost like she's adding on. And at the moment, I mean, she still has two more years as of today. Today is going to be May 9th. She still has in 2024. She still has two more years before she graduates and, you know, earns a degree. But then there's all the other things that she has to do in order to become, I don't know if it's certified. I have no idea. So, I mean, she's got some time to think about it. And maybe it's part of her work that she's doing already. Maybe there's going to be another avenue of this. I don't, God knows. Well, for me then, you know, I look at our kids that, hey, dad went to school right away. And I have a feeling like maybe I shouldn't have gone to school. But I went anyway and I got through it, did what I needed to do, jumped through the hoops, got my diploma and worked at a restaurant. And so it's almost like at some point you're probably going to have some of those deadbeat jobs. I should say deadbeat jobs. I think every job, like that's the thing. That's the whole point of this podcast is every job you can sanctify. You can actually elevate that job It could be taking out the garbage. You could be a garbage person. You could be a custodian. You could be an executive assistant. I don't care. Every job you can make valuable. You can make it worthy. But I think the thing that we have to remember is that our jobs and even our careers, they don't define us, right? I always like to hear the thing about we're human beings and not human doings. So now to tie all this back in, I mean, kids, you know, my brother and I were talking about the fact that, hey, where was the lie that you have to like your job? You know, I think about that all the time. Like, people are pursuing jobs that they're going to like. Now, it is nice if your job's enjoyable and the people that you work with. I think it's like a family, right? I mean, you get to know people, and there's going to be days where you're going to be irritated by some people. Maybe you're going to irritate other people without even knowing it, just like family life. But I don't think you have to like love your job in order to elevate it, right? Your job should support where you are in your life as a being. You know, me, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I need to support my family. So my job does that. You know, it's just, I think we get caught in this trap, like, I don't like my job. It's like, well, who told you you should? You know, the job is there for a reason. And if you like it, that's just an added bonus, I feel like. I could be totally wrong. And maybe you start off not liking your job, and then maybe you start falling in love with it more. Or maybe vice versa. And it's always nice, we're in such a free country, that if you don't like your job enough, if you don't like your job enough that you have to leave, you can leave. You can find another means of gainful employment. I really feel like, okay, I got to be honest with you. So I say all this stuff, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of contradictions in what I'm about to say, because I feel like I hit the jackpot. I mean, I go into college, and I declare my major. I'm a double major biochem. I don't know where that came from. That was totally left field. I go to this school with I graduate with 60 kids. I come down for orientation. That's what it is. You know, you register for classes or whatnot. And I come down in the summer. I remember it very vividly. I just don't remember what it was called, right? But I believe it's orientation. And it's like, okay, what do you want to major in? I'm like, I got no idea. And at the time I was leaning into physical therapy. That's where I wanted to go. But that was a master's program, so you can't declare you're going to be a physical therapist. And the person that was kind of filling out the paperwork is like, well, what were you good at in school? You know, and what did you get good grades in? I'm like, well, I got good grades in, you know, biology and chemistry. She's like, all right, biochem. I'm like, okay, sounds sweet. And then that first semester just destroyed me. I never realized, I kept up with the grades, kind of. That was more of a social problem I had. But it's the amount of labs and all this stuff. And I just, it was too much. I didn't want to do it. So I pulled out of that. And then I went right to sociology. I went to the other end of the spectrum because I had one class in sociology. I'm like, well, this is kind of cool. But I realized that wasn't what I wanted either. And I just remember one day my college roommate, who is a buddy, said something about their strength conditioning, you know, or their major in fitness. Like, you can major in fitness here. I'm like, what? I'm like, they have that? And he's like, yeah. So I'm like, I got to check into that because, you know, at the time, I'm very active in the weight room. I love lifting weights. I'm working out. I'm doing all these things. You know, that's what I like to do. So I'm like, well, I'm going to pursue a degree in that. And it's like one of those things where, in hindsight, man, was that the smartest thing to do? Like, I had no idea why I wanted a degree in fitness. Like, only because I liked to work out. It seems so weird, but it's also providential. I just know that God's hand was in all of this. But I'm just saying, I won the lottery with this because I had no idea what I was about to get into. And then, of course, as I get more and more in the field, I'm realizing, or not in the field, but more in the program, okay, strength and conditioning. Like, this would be great. I would love to work with athletes in a collegiate team or even a professional team, obviously, and work with these athletes in the weight room. Like, I saw so much amazement. Like, I was so awestruck by these individuals that were the strength conditioning coaches. I'm like, that's what I want. I will totally get the the prototypical buzz cut. You know, I'll wear my cargo khaki shorts and I'll have my crew the polo shirt, you know, the button down polo that you wear because you're a strength coach, right? And you just walk around with your big lats. That's what I wanted. And so I know a lot of you already know that I had the internship with the Chicago Bulls. So I went through school and I went through the fitness program and I had fun. I learned, but I wasn't, I just think about, I look at my wife as a student right now when, well, even when she was in her 20s, but especially as her in her 40s, like I would be such a better student right now. I would be more eager to learn. I'd be more willing to deep dive into things. At that time, I'm still just, I'm a 20, 21 year old. I don't care much about a lot of things, right? Just want to have fun. So I didn't take it as seriously as I could have. And so as I'm thinking about this now, like a little bit of reflection, I'm glad I went through the program. I'm glad I had the experiences I did. And I'm extremely grateful that I had the opportunity to do the Chicago Bulls strength conditioning thing. And I'm even more thankful about that because I found out that that's not really what I want to do. I mean, it was more the glam, right? Isn't that why we look at like professions, why we want to be a certain, like in a certain profession, right? This is the job we want because we see kind of like fame. You know, if I'm a strength coach, like I'm, especially for a professional football team, I'm making a lot of money. I'm working with professional athletes. Like I'm there's some glam to this. I think there's more reward when you're in, not in those like fame positions. But those people, I'm going to give them credit because it's not anything against them. That's where they were meant to be. Like, I mean, that's where they decided they wanted to go. They went through, they climbed a lot of hills. They moved up a lot of ladders. They went through a lot of muck, I'm sure, to get there. It wasn't just an easy trip. And that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to go that direction because I didn't like what I'd have to do to get back up to like kind of the top rung. Maybe I was lazy. I don't know. So again, I hit the lottery ticket because I've got my degree now and I'm back at working at restaurants because it's not easy to get a job, even at that time, as a, what do you do with a fitness degree? I mean, it's so funny when I look back at it now and I think, I love how Josh will talk about this, that when you're growing up, you know, how your mom and dad are like, oh, I can't wait till Corey grows up and becomes a personal trainer. You know, it's like, Who gets a degree in fitness and moves on with it in a job where they support themselves and their family? And that's the tough part about it, is you have to put in some really raunchy hours. I mean, you have to be up early. You have to go to bed late because you're working with people that are going to the gym before work. You're working with people that come to the gym after work. I mean, it's pretty hard. It's very difficult to be in this profession. And I'm not putting this out there for sympathy. I've kind of already done this before, not looking for sympathy, but especially for the clients to realize that those people that you're working with, now, whether it's here at Fitness Line Down, where we have a little bit of a different system, so we're not here to burn out our coaches. We don't want them working these long hours back to back, back to back, to back to back. We want to make sure that they have enough energy for those sessions. And then they're kind of like done, at least here for the day, right? But it wasn't so in the beginning, of course, but even before Fitness Lying Down, I mean, the things that your trainers have to do, and especially if I look at like maybe a YMCA or some of these other box gyms, where the trainer only gets paid for the client that they train. So let's say we have an hour together, maybe at 45, 30, whatever you're paying for. I get paid for that 30, 60-minute session. And I don't get paid what you paid the gym. I get paid like a third of that. And I don't get paid to program for you. I don't get paid necessarily. Now, this might change, but back in the day, I didn't get paid for any kind of extracurricular like education, continuing education. That came all out of my own pocket. And if I took a day off from training people, then I took a day off of making money. And that just doesn't seem to be like so many reasons why I think fitness in itself, the industry, has set itself up to fail. Like we put all these people out there who are just amazing human beings, very dedicated to helping people, and we put them in a profession where they can't flourish. Like, and if you're going to flourish at that with using that model, you have to work like you have to have so many clients, especially if we're doing one-on-one. This is like the old school model. You have to work like 8 or 10 hours a day with one-on-one clients. You know, unless you're able to charge like $1 bazillion per session and people are paying for that, But mostly, like, if you were to be successful, you had to have a lot of clients. And if you have a lot of clients, you have to work a lot of hours. And that's just hours training those clients. We're not talking about the prep work, programming for people. So that model is just dead. Never liked it. So the way we do things here at Fitness Lying Down, obviously we've evolved that model. And it's not like we invented this wheel. That wheel's already been invented. We just took it because it works. And we love it. We love having the semi-privates where we can train up to four people in an hour with one coach. So that coach doesn't get burnt out. They don't have to work as many hours. They get paid per hour, not per session. Like, it just makes sense. That's how we take care of our people. Again, though, I have to talk about me winning the lottery, because as I'm working the restaurants, then I got my foot in the door at a gym, and I'm working these hours that I've already talked about, but I'm also working at the restaurant because I can't, now, and I wasn't that successful either. I wasn't like working a bazillion hours a day training people. Unfortunately, the thing was that I would train a few clients in the morning, early morning. I would train a few clients here, and then I'd train a few clients in the later evening. So like my 6-hour training day was spread out over a span of 12, 13 hours. Gross. Very gross. So I had to fill up, and at the time I was newly married, without children at the time, but still newly married. So I had to get a second job. And I tell you what, now this is a ding against me and my pride, at least my pride back in the day. My pride has somewhat been chiseled at enough that I'm a little bit more malleable. But in the day, I was so proud because it's like, hey, I've got a 4-year degree from a really outstanding university when it comes to this degree. I had an internship with a professional basketball team. Like, why do I have to get a second job? And it felt like at that time I was lied to back in high school when I was told, hey, all you have to do is get that bachelor's degree, get that 4-year degree, and you're going to be set up. And here I am struggling. Like, the job I want to do, I can't make enough money, so I have to like get another job. And I mean, good life lessons were learned for sure. And it helped humble me, because I truly believe to be in this industry and to truly help people, not to help yourself, but to help people, you need to be humble. There has to be an essence of humility. That's why I always like to say, I take it right from the gospel that I came to serve, not to be served. So when I'm on the training floor, like, I am a servant. And I've heard somebody say that if you always come in as a servant, you will never be disappointed. But if I come in trying to seek my interests, I'm going to be let down 100 times out of 100. But if I come in and I'm there to serve people, I'm there to listen to people, I'm learning to be more empathetic. I'm learning to actually like listen, not just hear what they're saying, but to listen, to serve our clients' needs. Never disappointed. I come out of those sessions even more excited and elated. And that's almost like the economics of fitness, right? Doesn't seem right, but again, it's almost like the more I give, the more I receive. Seems like another kind of biblical thing, but it's funny how all these things just play in. Now, when it comes though, so I ended up finding a pretty awesome job, right? And kind of going through my history a little bit, and I'm going to tie this up somewhere where it's all going to make sense. Like at the end, it's like one of those like M. Night Shyamalan movies where it's like, oh my goodness, I saw he was always dead. If you know that Sixth Sense movie, but I get ahead of myself. So all of a sudden I get this job, I'm set up, I'm making salary now. I'm like, wow, fitness, this is great. I'm actually making salary, I've got benefits, I've got paid time off, and I'm working like in a corporate fitness center. And I get to work with people with special needs. And that was amazing for me. I learned so much about myself, but I also learned about how to coach better and how, I wish I would have known then what I know now, of course, about how to program better. But I did what I could with what I had. But the big thing is I started learning about relationships that, before this, it was just more about this client would come in, I would destroy them. Ha ha, we'll see you in a couple of days. Ha ha, destroyed you. Boom, boom, boom. Like, you're just coming in, I'm just totally just annihilating you like you want me to do. Right. Old school fitness. But now all of a sudden I'm like, my heart gets a little bit more tender with this position. the difference of people that you work with, the different ability levels. I mean, yeah, it was just great. But then I got fired. Not so great. But then great. because then I got to pursue, which was inevitably my dream job that I really never, well, you know about it, like, right? I think I talked about this in previous episodes, that when I first got my degree and I realized I didn't want to be a strength coach, well, what did I want to do? I wanted to own my own gym. And my new wife at the time said, you are not going to do that because we're not going to be bankrupt because of you. Talk about a shot to the gut. You know, it's like, hey, sweetheart, can you keep the punches above the belt, please? Thanks. But again, my pride gets in the way. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. I should have my own gym now. And my wife, of course, because she likes to keep, well, I wasn't hitting below the belt. I mean, she was just giving me some kidney shots that were effective. It's like, you need some experience. And I was like, I've got experience. I've got this four-year degree. I've got all the experience I need. I work out. I've worked out since junior high. I know what I'm doing. Boy, I tell you what, I would take that Corey right now and I would just shake him silly. I mean, if I was to have a conversation with myself, that's how it would go. I would just start shaking myself. But I was able to, you know, and it was funny because I remember being unemployed and the stories I've shared with that. And it was that moment of grace where my wife comes up and she's like, you know, maybe now is the time that you start thinking about that gym that you talked about before, because you have something unique now that you could offer. And I mean, as soon as she said that, I just went full steam ahead. I didn't need to be told twice. And, you know, as we talked about, the beginning of Fitness Line Down, we started, we had myself and my former business partner. And now here's where I'm kind of getting into more of the work aspect and the enjoyment and that you love your job and you're having fun, right? I remember I gave a talk at University of Wisconsin here, La Crosse, the same college I graduated from. I'm going there and I'm giving little talks to their fitness program here and there. And there's that saying, right, that if you can find out how you can make money by doing what you love to do, or something like that, I'm butchering it up, but if you love what you do and you can find out how to make money, you'll never work another day in your life. Meaning, you know, if you love what you do and you can make money, you'll never work. And I told them, I'm like, that's absolute BS, because you have to work. And I mean, I can't tell you the amount of hours I had to put in the first like 3 years. It was insane. But my wife, she knew it was going to happen. I mean, my wife's a very smart person. I don't know if you know that. With all this intelligence that she has, somehow she still chose me. I don't know. Can't explain. But she knew that, and we talked about that. Your first, I mean, she almost gave me like 3, 4, maybe 5 years max that you're going to work all these hours. But at some point, this is going to turn around and you're not going to have to work as many hours, at least in the gym. But yeah, I mean, you have to sacrifice. And I don't care. Like, I'm sorry. Your mental health and all that and your well-being and this work-life balance, I don't think there's such thing as a work-life balance. I really don't. Maybe at the end of your life, you can look back and see that it all balanced out. But I mean, there are some weeks where my family doesn't get as much of my attention because I have to immerse myself more in my job and vice versa. Like sometimes I'm like, hey, you know what? My family needs me, job never sacrifices. Fortunately, I have family here that takes care of the gym when I don't take care of the gym. You know, everybody has their own responsibilities here. So there doesn't have to be me here all the time. And by me not being here all the time really helps to flourish the gym. Because if I was in charge of everything all the time, this gym would not be where it is today. That is honest truth. And that's the thing about like letting go. Right? I mean, being able to delegate and hey, you're really strong in this. I'm going to give you these responsibilities because you like to do this. I don't like to do that. I mean, all these things I learned or I heard about owning a business is coming to fruition. And it's not hard for me to let go of a lot of these things. There are still responsibilities that I hold on to tightly because I feel close to this. This is what I'm good at. But some of these little things that it's funny, these little things that never get done because it's not high on my priority list, if I just give them to another employee and hey, you're getting paid while you do this, it gets done. With me, it never gets done. And it's all these like, they're not little things, but in my mind, they're little, but they add up and they create better Fitness Line Down. So it's just the coolest, it's the coolest thing to see, this little ecosystem that we have. And, you know, straight up, like, I don't think gym ownership is for everybody. There's so many out there that want to own their own gym. They want a brick and mortar. They want all this. And I get it. Like, it's exciting. But Is it a glamorous job? It might look like it from the outside, but it's really not. I mean, it's a great job. I mean, so in case any of our clients are listening, like, oh, what? This is not glamorous. You don't like? No, I love what I do. Absolutely love it. I don't think that this is a job per se. Now, I'm not saying that because I don't work. I work my butt off. I say this is a calling. Now, I mentioned this before, that if you're passionate about fitness, you might not want to work in fitness, because unless you can change that passion to purpose. You get so many people like, this is their hobby, right? This was my hobby before college. I liked working out. And during college, I liked working out. So I thought that I would get a degree in this and get a job in this. If I was unable to turn that passion that into purpose, then I would have fizzled out like most of our peers here in the industry have. You know, and I think about not even fitness degrees, but how many people go to college, go to a four-year degree, earn a four-year degree, and aren't doing anything nearly related to what they went to school for. Like, there's a lot of people, I think, out there. And again, that's what I'm saying. I won the lottery somehow, some way. And I don't want to poo-poo like this degree, but I think it's, for me, it's kind of laughable. I got a four-year degree in fitness, you know, four-year degree in exercise and sports science with an emphasis in fitness and a concentration in strength conditioning. Yeah. And it's like, what am I going to do with that? You know, if I would have asked somebody, if there was no such thing as like student loans, right? If I couldn't go in and apply for a loan, if all the loans were privatized, you know, and I can't afford to go to UWL on, you know, just, I wasn't working full time or anything like that. If I had to apply for a private loan, and if I was to tell that person that I was planning to go to school so I can, at the end of my time and, you know, in my 40s, own a gym, I don't think I would have gotten any loans. I think they would have laughed me away. As opposed to if somebody was like, hey, I'm going to go to UW-Madison. I'm going to go for medicine because I'm going to become a doctor. That person probably would be getting that privatized loan. Corey, on the other hand, hey, I want to go to school to get a degree in working in the gym. Now, it is a little bit more than that, granted. But I could have probably saved thousands of dollars if I went in a different direction and got here. But I didn't, and all the chips lined up. So that's what I'm saying. Like, because of the experience, because of everything I did, things happened. Like, even meeting my wife could have been a lot different. Might not have met her if I didn't have that path. So it is funny how, you know, they always say that God draws straight lines with crooked ones. And I have a million crooked lines. Like, if I had a book written about me, it would be like Crooked Lines. That's the title. Because somehow this all happened out. And it's not done yet. Like, that's the exciting part. But getting back to, how do you know if you're made to be in the fitness industry? Like, you don't have to love your job per se, but I think there are some exceptions. Like, you have to be a certain person to do this. You know, you have to be able to kind of switch off any problems that you're having outside of the gym. So maybe your kids are sick. Maybe somebody died in the family. I mean, that's pretty severe. But, you know, all these things that could happen outside the gym that could affect you and hurt your mood, but yet you're responsible for training people and you're responsible for providing an environment that's uplifting. And what if your mood swings so much and you can't control it? Are you the right person for this job? You know, I think about the Friday manager. I think I heard it said at one of my jobs that the manager was only happy on Fridays because it's payday. Like the rest of, you know, and then you get people that love Fridays, right? Like, hey, it's the end of the week, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, this manager would be a crab Monday through Thursday. And then on Friday would be like the happiest person. And it's like, what if you were that trainer? And maybe it wasn't just on Fridays, but maybe a couple of days you're really, really crabby and your mood swings were so much that then the next day you're just elated. You know, you got to have an even keel with this profession. And you got to have thick skin for sure. But you have to have an open mind as well. Like, there's so many contradictions that could happen here. And you have to stick to your guns. You know, I see so many in the industry that are so willing. Well, they don't even like learn about the guns that they have first, hypothetically speaking, figuratively speaking. You know, they don't understand what they have. And so when they're challenged on it, they immediately fold or they go to the next shiny object. So, and Josh and I have talked about this many times, and I truly believe it. Like, this is about the calling, right? It's not a job. Being in the fitness industry, being where I am as a fitness professional, as a trainer, this is an actual calling. This is a calling to help other people. And when you're called to this, and it's not just your, it's not your hobby, it's not your passion, this is your calling. When you are called to this, you are going to invest. You are going to sit with education. And you're not going to jump to the next thing. You're going to invest. You're going to learn. And hopefully you can apply that education to what you're already doing. But then also being able to discern through it. Like, okay, maybe this wasn't worth it. But I think any kind of education, you're still going to learn something. And maybe you might learn something what not to do. I really hope that that's kind of making sense. Because again, if this is just your hobby and you're passionate about it, passion comes and goes, right? It's that feeling that's just like, poof, it's like a flame that just burns out. And then it comes back, then it burns out, back, burns out. You want that constant flame. You know, you don't want it to be too hot. You don't want it to be too cold. You want it to be just constant. That's where we need to be in this industry. And again, if this is a calling, which it is for me, I know it is a calling for me. I mean, after being here as long as I have, and even though I have my days, like I've got to be honest with you, and I think we talked about this before, I am always enthusiastic on that floor because that, and that's the real me. As soon as I cross the threshold of the training floor and I'm on there and it's go time, I get excited. I mean, I could have a bad day happening at home and it all kind of goes to the back of my head because I've got a responsibility. This is like my calling. And I get enthusiastic. And as I talked about, the economy of fitness here, the fact that the more I give, the more I coach, the more I help people, even though I'm not here for my own benefit, it still comes around to me and I get happier, right? Like, and I've talked about this with my coaches. They'll have kind of a crappy day coming into the gym, you know, whatever life circumstances are happening, but they just start moving, number one. So many benefits of just moving and improving your mood, but to help people. Again, it's just like your problems don't go necessarily away, but it's how you approach those problems. So helping somebody in fitness helps you become better as well. And then you just keep giving them more and they give you more. And it's just like, it's such an economy, economic exchange of positivity, of happiness, of fitness. I don't know. I'm just kind of making that up as I go along, but it's the coolest thing ever. But I don't think it is for everybody. Just like I see some people doing their profession, I'm like, wow, that looks, I could never do that. You know, name any profession. That's not for me. And it's true. It's not for me. It's their calling. This is what they're called to as a professional. But just to remember that, yes, here I am, Corey. I'm a trainer, coach, whatever you want to call me. I own a gym, but that's not who I am. This is what I do, right? Who I am is I am a husband and father. Now, who I am also kind of pervades into what I do here, permeates into what I do. So it's kind of like a both and symbiotic relationship, if I could say that. But I just want to not be, I want to be careful that I'm not like Corey, the gym owner. No, I'm Corey, the husband. I'm Corey, the father first. I own a gym and I take care of people and I love doing that. I got to say it again. I won the lottery. I mean, how many times can I just sit here and think about, wow, I went through a 4-year college program. I got a degree in fitness. You know, some bumps around the road, of course, but those are great learning experiences for me. And here I am out on the other end owning a gym that I would like to say is successful. I've got employees. I mean, that's a great responsibility. I have to, every time that I write those paychecks, I sign those paychecks, there's got to be money in the bank. I have to be responsible for all this stuff. It's also kind of scary. Like I joke around, but it's also not a joke. Like who put me in charge? How am I able to be put in charge with some of the mistakes that I've made in this gym or, you know, whatnot? Like one mistake I've not done is I've hired some of the best people. I know that for a fact. These are great trainers and they've been with us for a while. I can't take that for granted, but I love it. And I can't take the gym for granted, right? Fitness Line Down, I never think like, hey, this is it. I've made it. You know, at any point, this could be taken out from underneath me. Any point, for whatever reason. And I'm going to do my best to make sure that doesn't happen. But I have to understand that this gym for me is a gift. And I want to use it as best as I can. And I want to use it to help a lot of people. And so that's why it's like, I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking about a lot of our new people that are coming in and just the experience. It's always fun to see. And we talked to Megan and Faith and Shelly. It's fun to see people experience Fitness Line Down for the first time based on any of their other previous fitness experiences. They get a little taste of what we do and they understand like, wow, this is such a different way to do fitness, exercise, workouts, strength training. Like, I don't feel bad about this and my body doesn't hurt, but yet I'm still achieving my goals. I'm working towards my goals. I'm being supported in a way that I wasn't supported before. And that tickles me. That absolutely tickles me. So it's kind of a, like I said, it's such a catch 22. I don't know if that's the right word, right phrase. But the fact that, hey, you don't have to love what you do. And I do. I mean, I love what I do. And I have great, another saying that I heard as I'm trying to desperately log off, but I keep getting these ideas, is that in the fitness industry, and this is one thing that's always stuck with me, and I told my coaches this as well, as I will tell any coach that works under me, is as a trainer, you can only have good days and great days. So that's that whole even keel thing. So even if you're having a bad day at home, that's why it takes a special individual, not necessarily to lie, but you know, any of those kind of problems, like we are here as your supporting staff, like me as your boss. If you got issues, I think all my coaches know this, we can talk. Like if you got to let me know about problems, if you just need to like let things off your chest, I'm here to listen. But we can't be taking that baggage out on the floor. Our clients aren't paying for us to talk to them about our problems. So we want to make sure. Now, they can tell us all about their problems. That's fine because they're paying us. But I just want to make sure that like people understand that when you're working with your fitness professionals, your coaches, your trainers, that these people are very unique individuals. And not only all this stuff, they actually like to exercise too. We're weird. We're very weird that way. So it's just like all those people out there. I mean, I hope that you who are in the industry right now, I hope that you understand how valuable you are and how important you are to your clients, and for the clients to understand how much we value and appreciate you. And we don't want to let you down, and sometimes we do, but that's not ever been our goal. We always want to make sure that we can help you be better. And that takes relationship building. Relationship building does take time. So you just can't be with your trainer for a couple sessions and say, you know what? I mean, sometimes people know that, right? Like, hey, this person's not jiving with me. No. But there's the communication part. And that's what I love about our clients is there's a lot of communication that happens. And as we grow and develop, and that's why we have clients that have been with us for almost 10 years. It's because we've developed relationships with them. Not just client and trainer. I mean, it's like kind of it's a family relationship, I guess you could say. Maybe not blood, but there's a different kind of family. This is a chosen family. We choose each other. That's crazy. So, you know what? I have to let you go now. I got to go do things. I got to get my kids ready and whatnot. And I got to get the sty out of my eye. I just always like to say that because it rhymes. But yeah, hey. I don't know where that podcast was supposed to go or how it went. But if you're still with me after all these minutes, bless your heart. Until the next time that we meet, my friends, Godspeed.